Okay, the next name that we're going to cover is As-Salam. Salam is one of those names which are khas billah. They're specific for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can name a person Salam. I mean, you can name a person Abdul Salam, but you don't call them Salam. So where does Salam come from? Linguistically, it comes from Bara'a, right? Bara'a means to be free from something. So what is it? Ana bari'un minkum. Where does it come in the Quran? إني بريء منك إني خاف الله رب العالمين فكان آخبته أنما في النار خالدين فيها ذلك الجزاء الظالمين this was with Habil and Abel and Cain, right? The sons of Adam عليه السلام, when they were going back and forth and having a discussion back and forth, and so one of them, he says, أنا بريء منك, I'm free from you, right? I'm exonerating, I wash my hands clean. That so bara is free, not like free like freedom free. Bara means like in the clear, exonerated, not like washing your hands clean of something. That's bara. Ibn Arabi, he says that salam, like silm, this actually has the meaning of afia, right? So if a person is salim, they're sound and they're free and they're in a safe spot, right? This is linguistically. So when you have peace talks, to make a treaty, they call it salam. Right? That's the thing. And so you're creating an environment of afia, an environment of safety and security. And salam can also be then used to mean to be free or safe from any type of kind of defect or anything that is unwanted. So after our prayer, we say this, Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, wa ilayka yarju salam. But each time you're using salam, there's a little bit of a different connotation. That you're saying, Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam. The salam that's coming from him is not the salam that he is, right? Wa ilayka yarju salam. And the salam that's going to go back to him is not the salam that he is, obviously, right? He's a salam in the sense that he is free from any type, he's bari from any type of defect or anything that is mazmoom, anything that is dispraised or anything that is unwanted. So he's salim, yani he's free from aib, he's intact. So for example, if you take something and you break it, right, it becomes mukassar. You break it into little pieces, you say that's broken. But if you go to a person and you say, look, I don't want any defective thing, I don't want anything that's broken, I don't want anything that's been crushed, right? You say, I want something that's salim. That's the word that you use. Meaning everything is joined, it's tight, it's, in its proper and original form, right? That's salim, it's safe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is intact in that way, and he's unweakened. So not only is he intact, but he stays that way. It doesn't, as time goes on, like when you look at human beings and you see, look at Obama, how you look before he got into office and you look how after he got into office. I mean, it's really stark. People age, you know, people actually have used this as art. And they do these, you know, time-lapse images of following people from a younger age and how they look when they grow up. And it's just so amazing how the human being actually just, Allah doesn't age. So he is salim, he is intact, and this goes into eternity without end. So that's one aspect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being as-salam. And the other thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives salam, right? Salam, qawlum min rabbir rahim. This is what he will say to the people in Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the... When we think about salam, how do we translate it? Peace, right? Peace. So what is peace? Peace is when you're in a state that is a state of security and where nothing bad is happening to you, right? That's where peace derives from. So that's that afia aspect. And it also has the bara aspect because you've exonerated yourself from any type of harm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is peace, and he's the possessor of peace, and he's the provider of peace. And he's completely safe from all of his creations. So no one can do anything to Allah. Right? No one can hurt Allah. You can't say something, you can't throw a rock and it's going to hit Allah. You can't fire, your atomic bombs are not going to do anything to Allah. Your hydrogen bombs are not going to do anything to Allah. Your F-16s are not going to do Allah. There's nothing you can come up with that's going to touch Allah. Right? He's untouchable. And that's why he's safe, because no one can do anything to him. And so Ibn Arabi, he says that the ulama are completely agreed on the fact that when we say Ya Salam, that we are calling upon the one who provides all the peace that exists in the world. So this is sort of an important statement. One of the things that we don't realize is how much peace Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides to us in our lives. One second. I thought I had a section. Maybe it's not here. How much peace Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided to us in our life. You know, if you never suffered from anxiety and don't know what that feels, just say Alhamdulillah. Because it's not a good place to be in. If you've never been suicidal, I mean, I deal with people who are suicidal, and you don't know what that feels, just say Alhamdulillah, because you're in a good place. And if you've never suffered from depression or bipolar or any of these other things, just say Alhamdulillah, because you're in a good place. Right? I mean, Allah has given us so much, you know, we don't know what a big gift Islam is and how we have lived such peaceful lives until you lose it. I mean, if you think that Islam is hard, try being a kafir for a day. You have no anchor in life. You don't know where you're going. You have nothing to, nothing to assuage yourself, nothing to console yourself. It's a hard life, right? That's why they literally, I mean, that one person that I was talking about what is white culture like, what did he remember about growing up? He said, yeah, mom and dad would come home every day and they would drink themselves down. Why do they have to drink themselves every single day? Because they had to drown out the lack of peace in their life. Right, that, I mean, alcohol is a drug. I mean, I'll just put it very clear. It actually, technically, is the most expensive drug in terms of its sheer cost on society. And it's a drug, the only reason that it's legal is because everyone takes it. Right, that's what you get for having a democracy. Right, long live the king. There's limitations to man-made systems. Yeah, there's great things about democracies, but it has its limits. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what was I saying? That He provides peace. So look back in your life. First of all, we thank Allah for the peace that He's given us for just being Muslim, right? And think about your life that, you know, you come home and you just feel content in that moments of peace that you have. Every time you feel that, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is coming from the name of the one who is As-Salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will give us peace not only in this world. This is one thing. Muslims are people of peace. Okay? The way that Rasulullah taught us to live in this world, our whole life is like one big Salaamu Alaikum. Right? You say As-Salaamu Alaikum. And Sahaba would do this too. It seems funny. I can't tell you how much we say Assalamu Alaikum to each other. I just saw you 2 hours ago, you see another, Assalamu Alaikum. What is the message that you're trying to send over there? You're giving a dua to your own brother that I don't want anything bad to happen to you. The problem is that we don't think when we say Salam, because the same people we said Salam to, we hurt with our words, and we hurt with our actions, and we hurt by being neglectful of their rights. Then that Assalamu Alaikum is fake. The Sahaba, when they said Salam Alaikum, they meant Salam Alaikum. And they would say Salam to each other, and then a pillar would come in between them, and they would see themselves on the other side of the pillar, and they would say Salam Alaikum to each other again. Afshu Salam, wa at'imu at-talam, wa sallu bil-layli wa nasu niyam, wa dukhulu al-jannata bis-salam. Right? Al-Rasulullah said, spread peace. Just spread peace. Make dua for peace. You know, if you look in human history, there's hardly like 100 years in all of human history where there hasn't been some place where some person was warring. And probably those 100 years, there was probably war somewhere else, as historians didn't document it. People are just always fighting. That's really not what we're about, right? We're people of peace in this world, and we're people of peace in the grave. Inshallah, and when you go in the grave, when Munkar and Nakir come, because Allah will send them, and they will say, Assalamu Alaikum, right? And then when we will be raised on the day of judgment, and we will and the judgment will be had. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. Right? Until they come to the doors of Jannah. فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. There's no even wow here. The doors were immediately, they're already open. It's as if they're open. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا. Right, and the people who are the denizens, who are the guards over there, the people who are manning the gates, they say, Salamun alaykum. Salamun alaykum. Come, come. Salam, salam, come. Tibtum fadkhuluha khalidin. And then, even in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will send salam. Salam. Imagine, forget, one thing is the doorkeeper of Jannah is giving you salam. One thing in Jannah, when you're there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will give you his salam. Salam, qawlam min Rabbir Rahim. Right? It's a word from Rabbir Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a chance to hear the salam coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may He direct His salam towards us in this life and in the next. So Muslims, really, we are people of peace. We don't have, go to Hajj, go to Umrah. There's 3 million people there. You're in a land where you cannot even break a blade of grass, or you cannot break a branch from a tree, and you cannot kill like any animal. Like, everything is sacred. And what is the lesson that you're learning there? Is respect your environment, and respect people, and respect the khalq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. Some person came, right, and they asked Sheikh Nuh, Hamim Keller, they said, about this, what's that called? Because some people have this deluded notion that like they own their wives and they can hit them and they can do whatever they want. I'm the boss, right? That just comes from a place of kibr and a place of lack of understanding of the deen. So when he came and told him that, what he said, the operative in the marriage, al-muslimu man salim al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi, much less hit her. She should feel safe from your not only your hand but from your tongue. Don't raise your voice at her. Don't abuse her. Don't talk down to her. Don't belittle her. Like, these are people who we're supposed to honor, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them in our care, and we should hold them in great respect and great dignity. And this is the dignity the deen has given them. And then people ask, okay, we get that, fine. That's okay. Then maybe you don't mistreat your women and you don't abuse them. Then what about this thing about jihad? Even the concept of jihad, if you read in the books of Usul al-Fiqh, it's not considered hasan li nafsihi. It's not considered a good thing, right? Because they say, and you'll read it actually literally in the books of Usul al-Fiqh, fi nafsihi fahuwa qitalun wa ihraqu ad-dam wa ghayru. And it's like, it's fighting and spilling blood. And these are not things which are good in and of themselves, but there are certain things that the deen allows. There are things which are inherently good, and there are things which are good due to some secondary thing, meaning the end is good, and therefore they are become allowed. They become hasan li ghayrihi. They're secondarily good. And this, so for example, if a person is being murdered, and then you protect the person who's being murdered, and you save his life, and you take out the person who is going to murder him, that's not necessarily a good thing that you killed the person, but it was a good thing because you were saving a life, right? So it becomes secondarily good. So that's the idea, that we are people of peace. So I guess we'll, the last thing, I guess we should just talk about how to, there's some more notes here, but we're not going to go through all that. I just want to talk about how to reflect this name. The first one is that we should develop a qalbi salim. It's same root letters. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَوْ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهِ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. There will be a day that will come that nothing will benefit an individual. In this world, when people have money, they think they can get anything done. They think that money rules the world, right? They say, what do they say? Money talks. Right? And really, when you have a lot of money, it's amazing how much you can actually do. We don't have that type of money, but you read about those people who do have that type of money, that literally they'll walk in to a store and they'll close the store, they'll close Gucci for these people. No one else is allowed, and then they'll just pick up whatever they want. They don't even know what it costs. There's people behind them that go and pay and take care of all that. They just pick up whatever they want and then they walk out. You know, there's people, they literally will buy people. By human beings. Human slavery. This modern day slavery, this is a real thing. And a lot of it is driven by economics. You can buy politicians, right? You can buy, and so people feel that they can buy their way. Allah makes it very clear. On that day, your money's not going to get you anywhere. Your rupee's not going anywhere. Your dollar's not going anywhere. Your yen is not going anywhere. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ. Mal is not going to get you anywhere. وَلَا بَنُونَ. Nor are your boys going to get you anywhere. right? There's things that you think that are going to help you, people who think you got your back, and people in that time, that when they had children, when they had boys, they literally thought that I don't have anything to worry about because they'll protect me, and they will fight for me, and they will support me, and even if I go old and I don't have money, they can pay for me. So they felt empowered by that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none of that really matters. Only thing that's going to help you on that day, come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bi qalbi salim. Come to Him with a sound heart, with a salim heart, with a heart that's bari from defects. And so what is that? That one interpretation of that is a heart that doesn't want to do shar. A heart that doesn't want to do anything bad. Right? I remember this one sheikh, he saw his own sheikh in a dream, and he was just beseeching the sheikh, and he's like, "Sheikh, there's nothing." He's like, "I just want to be good." Right? This idea of the feeling within an individual, they just want to do wrong. They just don't want to do bad things. And the aql doesn't want to follow shahwa. Right? And a person's intellect is strong enough that it doesn't lead them for following their base desires. And I think it was Mawlana Shafi'i Thanwi, and I often state this, but it's something that you can, you know, write in gold. He said, "I never let my emotions overcome my intellect, and I never let my intellect overcome the sharia." And then the last part, they say, for qalbi salim, my aql does not want to follow shahwa and anger, and none of these overcome him. The other interpretation is a soul that is purified from spiritual diseases, amrad qalb, number one. Number two, that's free from sin. And number three, and that's not to be reverted. Meaning that, because look, one thing is that you reach a certain spiritual level, but that spiritual level is only as good as long as you maintain that spiritual level. If you go back to what you're doing, then you don't have qalbi salim. You can only be safe. You know, it's like, I don't know, I'll give you an example, baseball, right? So you hit the ball, and then you run, right? And then you slide into first base. You're not safe until you touch base. Right? When you touch base, look, the ball might be really far away, but you don't know what's going to happen from the time that you're running from where you hit the ball to first base. You might trip, right? You might sprain your ankle. Anything can happen. Until you touch base, you're not safe. So similarly, if maybe you achieved, you know, you hit a home run, but we're all running to base. And until we hit base, we're not safe. And we'll hit base when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until we die our last breath. It doesn't matter how high you go. It doesn't matter how big of an alim you become. And it doesn't matter how many khatams in the Quran, and how many times you let taraweeh, and how much khidmah of the deen, and how much you donate in your life. You don't know until you breathe your last breath. So whatever spiritual state that you've achieved, and we've seen giants, right, in modern day things, who have reached such high levels of spirituality that we can only hope to even reach a tenth of that maybe, right? But people fall, right? And people fall. And the lesson from that is that if giants can fall, then we can't, right? Who are we? We're nothing. We brought very little to the table, and we have a lot to be afraid of. So the idea is that we want to be freed from sin in such a state that that you will not be reverted to what you were in before. There's a subtle concept, I won't talk about al-fani la yurad. That's a little bit too in depth. That's complicated. And the second, the second way that we reflect this, number one, we said by making qalbi salim. Number two, al-muslimu man salim al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. That making other people safe from our tongue and from our hands. Right? We should clear our hearts from any deception, from any envy, from any bad feelings for another, any intention to do evil. Right? And we should make the people around us, we should feel safe. I remember there was this one kid in madrasa. He was like one of the strongest kids in the madrasa, right? He had really big biceps. And like no one could really beat him up. Okay, so what he would do is he would walk by people, and he would do this, right? He'd like fake him. And sometimes he'd hit him, usually he wouldn't hit him, right? But if you got hit by him once, you know what it felt like. So every time he walks past you and he does this, everyone would flinch. And it became really to a certain point that sometimes he just passed by others and people just start going like this, you know, ahead of time, perhaps. You know, so you're not safe. Right? So that's a very sort of a funny example. But sometimes people are like that around other people. Right, so you have those friends who have a very sharp tongue, right? You're on that sister who she just looks for a chance to cut you, right? And so people don't feel safe. They're like, you know, they're like really quiet around them. Or they're like, you know, so how many times do people say to other, just watch what you say to that person? Why would they say that to you? If that person is that type of person that other people don't safe, they're not safe around, then that's a reflection of this, that that they're not reflecting the name As-Salam. Right? People should be able to trust you. People should be able to go to you. You know, and part of making people safe is also not judging them. Right? I can tell you, I mean, some of the youth, one of the things that, you know, I just really, really appreciate about Sheikh Hussein, and something I've learned, like, I don't know if I've learned from him, I hope that I'm learning it from him, is just not to judge anybody. People hate to be judged. A lot of kids want to be good. A lot of people want to become good. But one of the things they don't want to do is when they go to someone and they say, yeah, I do this, they're like, oh, so you do that, huh? Right? Someone comes and tells you, you do that, and you're like, I mean, like I told you the other day, someone came and told me that they're like with four women at the same time, and, you know, along with their wife. And I mean, I just didn't bat an eyelash. I was like, okay, I just still know you're a good person. Because I knew he was. You know, I honestly believe that. It's just something that he's struggling with, and you just have to, like, you know, if someone gets a flu, you say, what a jerk you are, you have a flu. You're just like, you have a flu, man. It's just something like, let me help you. Let me get some medicine for you. That's the attitude. If you can have that attitude towards other people, people will begin to trust you. People will become to feel safe around you. Your wife will begin to open up with you. There's so many spouses that don't open up to their spouse because they don't know if I say something to them, who they'll tell, right? I say something to you, you're going to go tell your mom, and your mom is going to, you know, come and give me a mouthful. I'm not going to tell you anything. They hide from each other, right? They hide money from each other. They hide secrets from each other. Why are people hiding from each other? Because they don't feel safe with each other. Reflect the name As-Salam. Let people feel safe around you. And let people trust you. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from those people who reflect both the name Quds and makes them purified from inside, and also people who reflect the name Salam, that we are salam from any type of spiritual defects in our deen, and we spread that salam to others. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.